When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters. You see, I'm wearing my Winston Zeddemore jumpsuit from the movie. Okay? I have two pieces of advice. Don't go out there. And who are you going to call?
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin. And they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, Don't Go Out There listeners. We want to thank you for tuning in once again. This is a very special episode. We've got Dustin here and my brother Brian. We are huge fans of a franchise that many of you are fond of called Ghostbusters, and we recently had the chance to check out the latest installment in the franchise, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I went on Monday night. We're recording this on Thursday. I went, so 3 days ago. Brian, I think, has seen it twice now, right?
Yes.
Look at that. Can't hide the money. But so we have some thoughts we want to jump on, just kind of give you guys a, I don't know, do you want to do spoiler free or do you want to do some spoilers?
Let's spoil it.
So this is your warning. We're a minute into the episode. If you do not want the movie ruined for you, don't listen. Go watch it and then tune in. So, Brian, let's start it off with your initial thoughts once this sequel was announced. What did you think? What did you expect? How did you feel based off the trailers?
Yeah. So I went on a little bit of a journey with this. I mean, you know, like, well, let me get this out of the way first. I loved the movie, but now with that said, it took me those two watches, and that was no fault of the movie. You know, the movie didn't obviously change. You know, I'm the one that changed because, like you mentioned, being such a huge Ghostbusters fan, the anticipation was crazy. It was nuts with me. I mean, I made the comment I didn't want the world to end until I had a chance to watch this movie. And, you know, this, you mentioned the trailers because that's where I envy your no trailer rule. And I don't know if you watched the trailers to this or not.
Nope.
I know I sent them to you, but I don't know. Okay. All right, so I watched those trailers and all of those scenes that there's a lot of, by the way, there is a lot of scenes in the trailers that are not in the movie, by the way.
Yep.
But I created this movie that I wanted to see in my head based on those trailers. So when I first saw it, I was almost trying to imprint this thing that was in my head up on the screen, and I didn't fully get that. So, I mean, I texted in the group chat afterwards. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll answer your question. That's as far as I went with
okay.
it. As far as the trailers go, I shouldn't have watched them.
Okay. So yeah, if you're unfamiliar, I have a strict no trailer rule. I don't like to watch trailers because I don't remember what movie it was, to be honest with you. I went on this rant, I think it was last year, about how I went to watch
what
a movie.
What movie was that?
I can't remember. It pissed me off,
Saw,
really.
Was it Saw X? Was it Saw 10?
No, it was before that.
Conjuring 3?
It was around, I want to say Nope, but it was around that time, I think. It was pretty early in the year last year. But anyway, regardless, the trailer that they gave us was not the movie. Like they structured the trailer in a way that it told a completely different story. So ever since then, I don't go out of my way to watch trailers. I'll share a trailer if I see it on the timeline. I'll share it in our group chat, but I don't watch it. I just share it for y'all. Obviously, I've got the Regal Unlimited, so I've been going to see a lot of movies in the theater. I watch those trailers. I mean, what am I going to do, show up late? No. So I watch those trailers, but I don't go out of my way. I did watch one of the trailers in this because you told me Bill Murray was funny in it, or you said something about his line in it. And so I watched it to hear what it was, and it was the tall, dark, and horny at 12 o'clock. So I saw that. That was the very first trailer. It's the only one I watched. And I went into this movie with really no idea other than, okay, it's going to get cold. And, okay, I really, really enjoyed Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's all I needed to know. I don't need anything to hype me up because I was already pumped up. I was already stoked for the movie. So knowing the little information that I knew going in, I think I agree with you. I think I was in a better headspace just to kind of enjoy the journey and not have these preconceived ideas and notions of what they're going to try to do on the screen. So I was just along for the ride, and I really enjoyed it as well. So that being said, go ahead and get into your first viewing. Like, what did you think watching the movie?
Well, you know, I texted in the group chat afterwards that I wasn't sure how I felt at first. And, you know, I was supposed to go Friday and Saturday. Me and my wife were supposed to go on Friday night. And then me and my son like share Ghostbusters. Like that's our thing. That's the only reason I like Star Trek is because my dad's thing was watching the original series Star Trek all the time. So if I wanted to watch something with him, and I think I've said this before, if I want to watch something with him, like I was going to sit down and either watch an old war movie or Star Trek. And so I got into Star Trek because of my dad. Now Liam's not into that. That's just like that's a niche thing anyway, I think. But Ghostbusters is something me and him has always shared. So I was definitely on Saturday wanted to share that with him and booked that up. And that's what we wanted to do. Now I ended up going to see it Thursday instead of Friday. So afterwards I had a lot longer than I expected to mull over it. And, you know, I thought to myself, even I was like, man, maybe I'm not as easy of a lay as I thought I was going to be with this movie. Like I thought like this movie would had to be terrible for me to not like it. And I was like, do I like it? I'm not 100% sure. So that's how I was after the first viewing.
So for me, I went into it on Monday. I wanted to watch it, you know, on the release date or that weekend, but I was in Atlanta for work and I didn't get back till Sunday. I was dog tired. So I went Monday after work, and man, I had so much fun with it. When you sent the text that you weren't sure how to feel about it, that worried me. I'll be honest with you. I was like, oh shit. Cause like you said, I expect you to be an easy lay. I thought you were going to 10. It's a 10. I love it. And so when you said you didn't know how to feel about it, I was like, oh God, what did they do? How did they fumble so badly? But it did put me at ease when I saw your follow-up text on Saturday saying that you liked it a lot more. And so that made me feel better going in. And I just, from the second I sat down, you know, that opening scene with being back in 1904 in New York City, that was really cool, by the way. They nailed the time period, the timepiece. I thought that was cool. And man, I had a lot of fun with it. I really enjoyed how the movie, it was really a Phoebe coming of age story. I love how it was centered around her. Well, and also Trevor too. Both of the kids had their, you know, he had his, I'm a man, I'm 18. And then you got to see him man up and when the situation came for it. But Phoebe, I think McKenna Grace, she's a budding star. Love that kid. Like she's so funny and quirky, and her delivery, her timing, she is a great young actress. And so I had a lot of fun with it. I thought that Kumail Nanjiani was the best addition to the franchise maybe ever. Like I love him anyway. He's hilarious to me. I first became familiar with him on Silicon Valley, and I liked him then. And so I'm glad that he's getting more opportunity as his career develops, but he was perfect in this movie. He was my favorite part, hands down.
Agreed.
And so just from, you know, we'll get into a little bit through the progression of the movie. I'll let you give your thoughts on, your, you know, if you have any additional thoughts there. But I thought that the story was fun. It was, how do you do a fresh take on Ghostbusters? You know, we've got, I know you don't count the one, but this makes
Because it's a remake, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not even in the same timeline.
It's not.
It's a different universe. So I don't like it. I know you do. So that's why I kind of, these four are the only ones in this timeline. So that's really
absolutely. Annoying. And I get that. What I meant was we've got five Ghostbusters movies though. So even though it's not in the same timeline, it's still a Ghostbuster story. And so when you're five movies in, how do you come up with something fresh? Did they come up with something fresh? I mean, not really. There's ghosts. They catch them. Happy ending.
Yeah.
And so, but it was unique enough. It was fun enough to where I just, it didn't feel like a retread. It didn't feel like they were playing the hits. Even when they brought in the OG crew, everybody was doing their own thing now. I really wanted more Bill Murray. That's my biggest gripe with the movie. Well, we get 3 minutes of screen time. So, but I thought it was a fun story. And I'm really glad that they centered it around Phoebe. And even though, you know, it's very predictable. It's like, you know what's going to happen. They're going to have a final showdown with the main ghost and they're going to win. That doesn't hurt the story for me. So
no, I agree. No, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, like to that point, it felt to me like a live action episode or version of the real Ghostbusters cartoon. And I fucking loved the real Ghostbusters cartoon. I don't know if you did, but I watched the shit out of it. And you brought it up. I mean, in a movie with Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray, just loaded with funny people, period. Kumail Nanjiani, he stole the damn movie to me.
Yeah,
it was just his delivery of that line when he's trying to sell that spear to Ray kind of stands out in my head. And he's like, $50 for the whole thing. And then he's like, listens to this big, long story from Ray. And he goes, $60. That on paper is different than the delivery. And he fucking nailed that.
or when he's like, oh, I didn't realize that was in there. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got to do 60 on this because he started out like $40 or something.
Right. <Yeah. laughs>
That whole exchange was great. And then when he's, trying to light the candle and he realizes he can move the fire and he became the fire. What was it? The fire master
Like that. Yeah.
So
yeah,
when they called it that, like he's hilarious to me. And Paul Rudd is one of my favorite comedic actors anyway. Some of my favorite Marvel movies are the Ant-Man movies and you know, the Avengers movies or Civil War. I think Paul Rudd is fantastic. Just all around great. And I will say go ahead.
I was going to say that too. Like I've seen complaints where people have said the movie seemed crowded, but I didn't get that. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people in this, but if you sit down and think about it and break it down, I mean, every single member of this cast had their time to shine, had their story progressed. They were meaningful. Now, obviously this felt like you said, a McKenna Grace movie and she fucking killed it, but no member of the cast to me felt pushed aside, to my opinion. Like Carrie Coon, she had that same exact, I mean, she was walked right back into this character. Like it was perfect. Maybe that's close to how she is in real life, but she nailed like exactly how she was in Afterlife and parenting. She didn't, you know, make it any crazier than it was before. I mean, Paul Rudd, like you said, is amazing. Their scene that it's in the trailer, but their scene where he's trying to talk her into fighting for the ghost or for the firehouse. And he's quoting the Ray Parker Ghostbusters song to her as normal dialogue. It had me dying fucking laughing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's and how she cuts him off before he goes, can I tell you something else? But Bustin' makes me feel good. And she goes, no, get out. Just get out. No, that's too far. That was too stupid. Like this, man, it was perfect. They're great together. They have such chemistry.
They do. And I really like that they expanded on that family dynamic because, you know, at the end of 2021's Afterlife, we saw that, that it looks like they're developing this happy family, but here we are. Some time has passed. They've relocated. They're in New York now. What's that quote unquote father children dynamic going to be? And it was great to see Paul Rudd kind of struggling that, because that's very relatable to a real life, you know, stepfather situation. It's like, oh, I don't want to overstep. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to discipline the kids unless I have your permission. And so right. I thought they killed that dynamic. And
I agree.
Another character that it's a big name, smaller role, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Fantastic. He's, because he strikes me as such a nerdy guy anyway. Like, he's perfect for that librarian role. And so I had a lot of fun with it. It was great to see.
Did you catch the guy whenever they were walking into the library, the guy that told Ray that he wasn't allowed back? Do you remember him from the first movie when he was the guy that whenever Bill Murray's Venkman's interviewing the librarian that saw the ghost, and he goes, are you menstruating now? And he goes, what does that have to do with it? Like, that's the same guy. That's the same guy that was outside. And I was like, oh, what a great little Easter egg that they threw.
Dude, I didn't see. Yeah, that is great, because I didn't even notice it. And that's fantastic. That's an iconic, you know, part of the first movie. That's great. And yeah, when Ray and the kids Ray and Phoebe went to the library there, that whole dynamic was fantastic. I love how they had the ghost in the library looking at the books, and we got kind of a little jump scare there. The lion. I thought the film looked beautiful, because you know, you could tell that they got their budget was well spent on this movie with the effects, because the lion coming to life, that was fantastic. That could have easily looked terrible, but it looked really good. And, you know, it was great to see Janine. And another guy that I think was a great addition was Lars. James Acaster? I'm not sure how to say his last name.
Yeah, he's big in the UK, actually. But I'd never seen anything that he'd been in before this. But
Nor had I.
Him. I thought he was great.
I did too. And see, that's where, when you're talking about people complaining about being crowded, I mean, you already got podcasts, you've already got Lucky. So there's a lot of people, and here we are adding another, but his character served a purpose. His character was actually very crucial to the story. And so I thought it was fantastic.
He was very Egon-ish. Like, he served that Egon role that was, to me, kind of split up between a few characters. It was almost like, you know, Egon was a few characters in this, and Peter was a Venkman. Like, his personality was a few different characters. It's like they took the original, like, four characters and their characteristics and just kind of split them up over a few different people. And I thought it was great.
Yeah. Now, I will say, the addition of Melody, her character, I don't have problems with the story at all. Like, not a single part of the story do I have problems with. But I will say, from the second that she played chess with Phoebe in the park there, I kind of saw it coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
in the history of the franchise, there's never been a pleasant interaction between a ghost and a human. And so when she's befriending Phoebe there, it's kind of like, okay, she's setting her up for something. And then, you know, when it happens, like, yeah, I knew it. But it was still... I think that McKenna Grace did such a great job of portraying that vulnerability of a teenager who feels like she's too young for anything. She doesn't have any friends. She just wants to fit in. It's nice to have a friend. So it made it okay, because that's very believable that she would be so vulnerable.
Exactly. No, 100%. And, you know, some people, I think, took that as a romantic relationship. I you can take that however you want to take that. You know, if you want that, if you think, I mean, it was just, like you said, vulnerability of Phoebe and this ghost who had her own vulnerability, and they found each other and were friends. And, you know, Phoebe has this fascination with death that goes back to Egon in the first movie, when he was talked about drilling a hole in his head before, you know, I mean, like, he had that fascination with death too. So it's not anything new and groundbreaking, but it's a nice mixture from Gil Keenan and Jason Reitman on a real Ghostbusters episode. And I really felt like it could have been a real Ghostbusters episode. And, you know, the movies that we love, and it was a nice mixture of it's not for kids, but it was a nice mixture of, like, a kid friend, like the first one, where it was like, had very adult humor that went over your head if you were a kid. And, you know, busting ghosts and stuff. Talk about Gil Keenan. I mean, I think he did a great job with his first time directing this. I mean, there's a shot I've got to bring it up. There's a shot in the opening scene where everything slowed down as the ghost flew by and Phoebe said, "The Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon." Like, I fucking loved that shot. That was one of my favorite parts of the whole movie, was that shot. It's stuff like that that I was like, God damn. Yeah. Great job.
Absolutely. I will say, it's not that it's not on brand, but when she said, "It's the Hell's Kitchen sewer dragon,"
yeah,
I kind of groaned a little. I don't know. I don't like that. Oh, this is a well-known ghost. Oh. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Because like, ghosts don't surface that often. If they did, they would have been busted by now. So it's like, why is there a full scout report on this guy? But
minor. I have no idea. I've never seen that before either. And I don't think that they do that ever. I mean, even with Slimer, like, they never named him Slimer. It was just something, you know. So it was different. So I thought, well, I wonder if that's a... I don't know. It was just different.
I'm glad you brought up my guy Slimer. Very good to see him back. That was awesome. Yep. Him and Trevor had some great moments there in the attic. I really appreciated that. And great model. It was awesome great when he does what?
I said great CG model. Like, it looked absolutely just like the first one. Yeah. Great job. Yeah. Great job.
And I loved when the inhabitor, you know, jumped in the pizza and Slimer eats it. Like, oh, that was great. That was great.
Again, very real Ghostbuster-ish.
Yeah, very. And I really appreciate... So, a lot of times in these franchises, when you get so many installments, some of the stuff is like, okay, they're trying to shoehorn this in. Mm-hmm. I did not feel that way with the mini Stay Puffs. It's like they were there, but they weren't so in your face. It's like, come on, we don't have to have them here. It's like, they were cute. Yeah. They served a purpose. It was funny. So, yeah, I really liked it.
What are some complaints you had? Did you have any complaints? Like, what are some things that you thought maybe I could have gone without?
You know, I don't necessarily have any complaints. My only complaint would be that it was too predictable. That knocked it down some for me, but I still love the movie. It's just the but then again, I try to remind myself, dude, this is Ghostbusters. Everything's gonna the good guys are gonna win. We've seen it since 1984, but. When we see the ice demon, or I don't remember what he was called.
Garaka.
Yeah. When we saw Garaka in the opening scene, it's like, okay, we know who the final boss is going to be. And so from then it's just, how do we get there? The journey was good enough to where it's like, I don't mind. You know, I think all the acting was on par. The movie looks fantastic. I think that, all the characters were well written. So I didn't really have many complaints. What about you? I know you, like you said, you graded it on a scale that wasn't fair at first because you had this other movie made up in your mind. But on the second watch, what kind of complaints do you have?
I mean, I could have done without but every Ghostbusters movie, I mean, there's something that I was like, I could have probably done without that. But you grow to love it over time. I'm not really sure I loved the puking ghost, the little small puking ghost. It felt a little bit like mini Stay Puft ish. And I was like, well, you got both?
Yeah.
Do you need both of them in this movie? Like, you know, maybe I didn't need to see the mini Stay Puft as much as we did because of that. After the cold open, after the fire, the in the past, mm-hmm. was in 1908. After that, and we get that title card, I wanted to hear the Ghostbusters Ray Parker song right there. Like, give me the fucking Ray Parker Ghostbusters song right there.
I did too. And I honestly expected to hear like a remixed version, like a 2024 updated version, but that was okay. That's a good point. I was very disappointed in that because I remember sitting in my seat being like,
It would have, I mean, just that would get you hyped up for the scene. It gets you hyped up anyway to hear that song. I mean, I loved hearing it at the end. That was fantastic. By the way, at the end, whenever they're playing that song, you know, and they had the parade, you know, everybody kind of like, cheering. Like, they had there's a bunch of fans that had blue Ghostbuster shirts, and those blue Ghostbuster shirts are the same damn ones that they had at the end of Ghostbusters 1 when the crowd was cheering. Like, they had some blue Ghostbuster shirts that I've never seen anywhere in my life except for now these two movies. And by the way, somebody's yelling out in that parade, somebody yelling out, "Hey, Dickless." That was fucking fantastic too. But before I get off on that tangent, that was, and part of me felt like a little bit that the Garaka stuff at the end might have been rushed. But then I got to think about, like, sit down and think about the other three movies, and it was the same formula. Like mm-hmm. the whole movie was built up to a big bad. You know, we got Gozer twice, then Viggo. We get this big bad only in the last act of the movie. So I was completely fine with it. At first, I was like, I could have used some more Garaka. But once you think about the formula and what we've gotten three other times, I'm just completely fine with it. I do feel like there's a lot on the cutting room floor. I feel you said you wanted to see more Venkman. I know there's two scenes in the trailer with Venkman, like one with he's joking around with Paul Rudd about how Paul Rudd's like asking him a serious question about like how would he have dealt with it back in the day. And he said, well, I would have gotten dressed and gone clubbing. It's like stuff like that that I know is on the cutting room floor somewhere that I really want to see. You know, I wish they'd do a director's cut. It's just there's a lot more of the movie I actually want to see as well.
So while you were talking, I did think of two things that I didn't really like. And number one is here we are, 40 years later, and yeah. the mayor is still anti-Ghostbusters, wants to blame them, doesn't believe them. Like, no, man, well, you've seen it.
I mean, that's Walter Peck from the first one, from the EP. Yeah. You know, he was in the EP or whatever. So I bought that at least more because it was him, because he has a history with hating the fucking Ghostbusters. So I bought that more than if it was just some another generic mayor yeah. type that hated him. So, okay.
That's fair. But to me, it's just like, dude, you've seen the damage that the actual ghost caused.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You need someone to bust them. And yeah, there's going to be some collateral damage. But, and then number two, my other biggest concern or a gripe was I felt like the whole nobody believes Phoebe or, you know, oh, she's just a kid. So let's let, you know, it's her fault that this went awry. That I didn't really like that either because I felt like in the mayor's office when she's getting her ass chewed, I feel like mom and step pop should have stepped up a little bit and had her back a little mm-hmm. bit more.
Yeah.
And but instead I think they just kind of laid down like, well, you're not a Ghostbuster. You're a kid. Yeah, you got to wait.
I agree.
When, you know, she's really the brains behind the whole operation. We going back to the last film, she's the reason yeah. that they are busting ghosts. And so didn't really like that. Speaking of Venkman, one of the things I loved that he did was when he walked into the firehouse and he had the hidden liquor yeah. bottle.
Perfect.
That was fucking awesome. Yeah, so I love that as well.
Like how much of that I wonder was improv, you know, because Murray's yeah, so fucking great.
It's Bill Murray. all right. So we've kind of got through our likes and dislikes there. What about going forward? Where do you see the franchise going forward? What do you want to see from the franchise going forward? And take us through that.
Well, you know, like I mentioned, director and co-writer Gil Keenan, he kind of said that he and Jason Reitman had some ideas of where to go from here if the movie does well enough to warrant another sequel. I mean, it made a 60-something million worldwide the first weekend. Hopefully yeah. that warrants, you know, because it's more than even Afterlife made, and that warranted yeah. a sequel. Although I know they spent a lot more on this. You could tell just the advertising. They spent yeah. way like Ghostbusters was everywhere for the past month. You know, they had some ideas of where to go. I hope they continue to go the real Ghostbusters route. I mean, that show had some very good, better storytelling than it had any business having for a cartoon. I mean, you could go the two big main bads in the real Ghostbusters cartoon were Sam Hain in a Halloween episode with a dude with a pumpkin head mm-hmm. that was controlling ghosts. It's kind of around the same way Garaka did, except he actually got a chance to control the ghosts. And the Boogeyman, that was a big episode that I remember too. I mean, I think they could go that route. I mean, any of these episodes of Ghostbusters you could take and make into a full movie. I hope it's in the same vein. If they're going to make another one, I hope it's in the same vein as this one.
So I agree with that. I hope it's in the same vein. I would also like to see, so if they do another sequel, which I think they should, I hope they do. I would like to see the four youngsters. You know, Lucky yeah. and Podcast and Trevor and Phoebe. I would like to see them because they should be adults by then, all of them, you know.
Well, oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And even if they're not, even if Phoebe's like 17, age her a little bit, put us a little bit in the future, it's fine. But yeah. I would like to see them do that. And I would also like to see them kind of expand the operation because right now and traditionally it's been a New York operation, right? But mm-hmm. what happens if there's ghosts abroad? What happens if there's ghosts on the West Coast? What happens if there's, you know, ghosts down south? I think you could do some really fun stuff getting them outside of New York. New York is a huge city. There's never a shortage of things to do in that city. So they could stay there and I'd be fine with it. But I would almost like to see them open up satellite offices, maybe an apprenticeship program where you get Ghostbusters in, and you could bring in some up and coming comedic names there. Some other names to be these apprentices. I think you could do a lot. The franchise has so many directions it could go. I would not be mad. This is breaking news. I'm always one to complain about sequels and I want originality, but I wouldn't be mad at Ghostbusters getting a Fast and Furious run. Give me 10 of these. Give me 11 of these. Let's go, baby. I love them so much. I admit it. It's bias, clearly, but I love it.
But there's so many stories. I mean, they had four seasons of real Ghostbusters. Like, there's so many stories that they've already told that you know are good and you know how are going to play out. Like, go, you could use those. I completely agree with you, man. I don't want to see almost a True Detective type thing where it's like a different cast of characters in a different country. But there's so many, and I don't know, I said this to a friend of the show, Joe Larson, when we were it's not Larson anymore. I can't think of her last name now. But whenever we were talking about this movie, and I said, man, you know what would really be cool is if they...
Swinton.
Went, I mean, huh? Sorry.
Swinton. That's her last name, right?
Swinton? Swinson? I don't know.
Samsonite. Okay.
Samsonite? Well, I was way off. But go to the UK, man. Like, I think that they shot most of this movie in the UK anyway, on Pinewood Studios, I think, over there in Europe anyway. So... I mean, go over there. You have Lancaster's already. He's a big UK name. I think you could take all four of the new cast members and be like, go over the UK, like explore some old abandoned castle or something. Like, have like a haunted house type movie inside of a big old UK castle or some shit. Like, you could get out of New York perfectly fine, and they did it plenty of times in the cartoon. They were not in New York every time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we've gone about 30 minutes now. So I think we've kind of covered everything from top to bottom. Any other closing thoughts or anything else that you wanted to get in on Ghostbusters Frozen Empire?
Two things. One thing I did want to, whenever we were talking about the cast, I do want to bring up Dan Aykroyd, because I felt like in this movie, he just felt like he was having fun. Like, for some reason, this movie... was just, it felt like he was in his wheelhouse. Like, Winston got a bigger part, but I felt like Dan Aykroyd really thrived in this movie, and the role that they've now got him in, I think that's perfect for him. Now,
completely agree.
Also want to, like, now I only want to do four because it's in this timeline, but rank the four Ghostbusters movies for me. How do you rank them now?
Okay. Nothing is going to top OG to me. Right. So number one is number one.
I agree.
Number two, I'm going to go Afterlife. And that might be because we had such a long break and it was so refreshing. And I don't know, the story was emotional. Like, I loved Afterlife. This is where it gets tough, though, because something's got to be last. But I don't think there's a bad movie among the four.
I agree.
So personal preference, I think I'm going to have to put this one. It might be recency bias. Yeah. But I'm going to chalk it up to McKenna Grace just still on the show, and Camille Nanjiani still on the show. Like, those two, their performances, to me, lifted above Ghostbusters 2 very slightly.
Camille felt very Lewis Tully.
Yeah.
To me.
He definitely did.
But almost funny. I mean, but funnier. Like, I loved Lewis Tully. I love him. But I didn't feel like I ever laughed at his stuff. Like, I laughed at Camille's.
I'd like to see Rick Moranis make a return in the next one.
Oh, 100%. I wanted him in the past too. Just come, just be a accountant or something. Like, bring him back for something. If I was ranking them, definitely one. I actually think I'm going to do one, two, Afterlife, and then Frozen Empire. But that doesn't mean this is a bad movie, because I would, if I was ranking this out of 10, I would give it an 8. So it's an 8 out of 10 as the last movie in the franchise in my rankings. Like, that's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's kind of where I am too. I know I texted in our group chat after I watched it, and my rating just off one watch you know, not knowing what to expect. My rating was right in line with yours. So that's about where I'm at too. That could change. Everything's subject to change with another watch and, you know, paying attention to it, breaking it down a little bit more. But that's where I'm at. So, all right. Any other thoughts before we wrap it up?
No, just that if you're listening to this and you haven't gone and seen it, first of all, shame on you. But second of all, go fucking see it. Like, give them your money so they will make more. It was, man, it's fantastic and it's worth a watch. Bring your whole family.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better. Definitely recommend going to the cinema, going to the theater, regardless of what you watch, just to, you know, support the theater. But this one deserves your money. The other movie I saw Monday does not. It's a movie that's coming out in a couple weeks called Sting. I saw it. It was an early preview, sneak peek. They didn't tell us what it was beforehand. I'll take this time to tell you Sting is not worth spending your money on. Wait till it hits streaming. It's not a terrible movie. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but save your money. Go watch this instead. So with that, we'll get out of here. Thank you all for listening. Appreciate all the blood donors. Be sure to tune in to our regular episodes, and we'll catch you next time on Don't Go Out There.
Just want to remind everybody.
The $5 meal deal at McDonald's means you get to pick between a McDouble or a McChicken.
Mmm.
Then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money. Get the $5 meal deal today.
Prices and participation may vary for a limited time only.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Fall is here, and it's a whole mood. With shoes front and center, of course. Good thing DSW has all the obsession-worthy shoe trends you need. From ballet flats to cool court sneakers. Turn your closet into the who's who of fashion moments with the latest animal print faves, kitten heels, and more from top brands like Nike, Adidas, and Steve Madden. This season, fall for fashion at your local DSW store or DSW.com.
Justin and so good. Thousands of new fall deals have arrived at Nordstrom Rack stores, and that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because fall equals sweaters.
Why do I rack?
Because check out these boots.
Because there's always something new.
Save big with up to 60% off Vince, Steve Madden, Kurt Geiger London, Theory, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Bingo.
All right, Phil, we're recording now, so it's live. Go ahead. Pick on me the way that you want to.
Did I say that? I wouldn't say that to my son. Man, I mean, come on, man.
Just go. This isn't CBS.
All right, be quiet for a few seconds. Why would people want to listen to the Sims Complete podcast? Well, a couple things. One, if you like to see sons pick on their father, this might be the place. If you want to see a place where the father just kicks the out of his son, this would be the place. What do you like about it, Matt?
Ditto. Father-son dynamic duo talking about the game of football that we love and share and appreciate together. And, you know, hey, it's an extension of what we did, right? Growing up, I was able to watch my father play football, then obviously watch him as a broadcaster. And then he taught me the game of football and share the wisdom that he learned throughout his playing career. And, you know, hey, sometimes we're full of it and sometimes we actually know a thing or two.
Well, we do a lot of research. At least I do. You're a little spotty, but you know, you hang in there. It's fun. I love doing this and it's been awesome.
Sims Complete. Check us out wherever your podcasts are available on the Believe Network. Appreciate it. See ya.